brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network. Found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com. Hello and welcome to the latest live episode of Wrestling with Jonas, episode 345. I've got a pretty damn awesome guest for a Thursday evening, you know, none other than the current No Mercy Wrestling heavyweight champion, the current IWN Z-Force champion, and one of the very best heavyweights in the UK right now, Jay Joshua. Jay, awesome to have you on the show. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good, man. How are you? Thank you for that.
Not too bad. Not a bad intro, eh? But a lot of accolades there. And I'd say legit, one of the very best heavyweights in the UK. And we're going to be taking a deep dive with Jay Joshua. And we are live, of course, across our YouTube, Twitch, X, Facebook Live. So if you're watching us live and you want to get in touch with the show, then you can do. Just send your questions through to us using your chosen device. And we'll do our very best to answer your questions during the course of this interview. But just a quick reminder before we take a deep dive with Jay Joshua about some of my recent and up-and-coming guests. And this is our first interview of February. But so January started with Brandon Lee coming onto the show. Go and check that one out. The current BWR Cruiserweight champion, Miles Kamen, was a guest of mine in January as well. As well as the Deadly One herself, Nightshade, was one of my guests in January, as well as the SWW Brit Pro Cup champion, Axel Carter, was my recent guest in January. Up-and-coming guest next Monday, as a matter of fact, and a slightly different start time of 4:30 in the afternoon, none other than Scotty Rourke coming on to my show. Next Monday, the 12th of February, 4:30 in the afternoon. On the 20th of February, I've got none other than Alexis Falcon joining me live on Wrestling with Jonas. And this is a guest that I'm sure Jay knows very well. On March the 4th, first interview of March will be Eddie Dennis. But today, it's all about this guy here, episode 345. And Jay Joshua, welcome to the show, my friends. And I'm just going to bring up this picture here that's going to bring a bit of a smile to your face. Look at that man there, the IWN Z-Force champion and the No Mercy Wrestling heavyweight champion. But to start 2024 as a double champion, Jay, that's a pretty good way to start the year, isn't it?
Oh, it is absolutely huge. I had... And it's the first, like, no time I've ever had any belts, too. And it took me a while. And it, to actually start the year as being, like, no champions in two, like, no other shows. But yet alone one is enough. Yeah. It's two in two totally different areas, which is so, so cool.
Yeah, we're going to break it down. We're going to talk about IWN. We're going to talk about No Mercy Wrestling. Two very, very good promotions, on the UK scene. But does it feel to yourself like you finally or possibly get into a place in your career that you've been striving to get to for so many years? And now it seems like everything is finally clicking and falling into place. Thanks in part to all the hard work you put in last year.
In a way, yeah. And then, but in a good way, I don't really think of that in that way. I'm always just having fun, and then I'm living in the moment every time. Even if I'm getting on bigger shows, and then I'm getting bigger opponents and bigger opportunities, and that I'm still just having fun, and then I'm living in the moment of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it does appear certainly to your fans and people that have been following your career that 2023, kind of something seemed to change. And like I say, you switched up your appearance a little bit. You seem to have this extra kind of swagger and presence when you come down to the ring. Your wrestling style was pretty much the same, but you just had this presence, this kind of larger-than-life character that just burst through the curtains. It appears like you're having more fun than ever before, Jay.
That one is solely down to a new wave lot, 100%. Brendan and Board and Danny Jones and Mark Andrews and Nico. I actually remember in, I think it was the ending of 2020, two it was, and I had like, you know, Brendan and Bud and Danny and Mac just all around me, and were like, in a good way of being like, who are you as a wrestler? And in my head, I was like, I don't get you. And then, but they were like, no, all of them, like, no, actually said, like, no, in the ring, and you're good, and but it doesn't seem like if you're you. And I was like, oh, I didn't really actually think of that. So I just started to actually be me. And it, but then, like, no, I would not be like, no, I would not actually be on this form now if it wasn't like, no, on those, like, no, guys, those guys actually helped me out so, so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people have kind of been saying for many years that, you know, Jay Joshua, one of the best heavyweights in the UK, you know, Jay Joshua's got a lot of potential. Jay Joshua, just, you know, watch him rise. But there was always this something missing. And I know when I first bumped into you at a show, I think it was the very first Wrestle Carnival show in August 2021, when you faced Chris Ridgeway in a match that I still think about today, an incredible match. But I think that kind of that character and that presence, that larger-than-life presence, was lacking. And I think that you were kind of, you know, trying to find your way as a character. And you like I say, in the ring, you had it all day long, but just kind of lacking that final piece of the puzzle. Let me bring up some pictures, Jay, because I think this is what we're talking about. This is the Jay Joshua of 2023, 2024, and the confidence, the swag, larger-than-life. And I got to say, the jacket, my friend, is absolutely incredible. Who made that jacket for you?
It was Ginger Dead. It was she's made a lot like, no, of the jackets, and she's made mine, Elijah's, and she's recently made Man Like No the Racism is geared as well.
Sweet.
She's just absolutely unbelievable.
Absolutely. But I think some of these pictures just demonstrate what I'm trying to explain, just demonstrates who Jay Joshua is. And as you said quite rightly, and I was going to agree with you, it's just you, isn't it? You just kind of found a way to be you, you know, and kind of portray that character in a way, to portray yourself kind of in a wrestling environment. I think it works really, really well. But you must be pleased with the results you got over the last year or so, and kind of the progression you've made. I mean, looking ahead, 2024, you've already had a few matches under your belt already, Jay, but do you have a particular kind of mindset heading into 2024, especially with the momentum you're carrying with you off the back of last year? Where's your head at thinking about 2024 and how you want it to play out for you?
I want to have a better year than last year. Like, no, every year now, like, no, even when I actually started, I just want to make every year better every single time.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me ask you, you also see, in fact, I saw a promo, which I think you cut in about October last year. Now, you appear to be kind of out in the middle of nowhere, sitting on a tree log or a tree stump. And I think it was a promo that you cut for Pro Wrestling Chaos. And you said that 2023 was not just the best year in your career, but the best year in your life. And I think the fact that you are kind of in a really positive space now, kind of personally outside of the wrestling ring, that's obviously had a knock-on effect, maybe in your performance as a pro wrestler as well, as an entertainer, as a wrestler inside the ring too?
It really, really did. Like, no, a lot of the personal stuff in the past actually got in the way. But I never really wanted to, like, no, actually say it or, like, no, use it as an excuse. But some of the stuff I was going through a lot, it was just, it wasn't, like, you know, horrific or bad, but it was just getting in the way of myself. But knowing that I came home in Cardiff, like, no, where I'm, like, no, actually from, in St. Mellon's area. I actually came home there in the first half of 2022, and it's just made my life just 100 times better.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I'm going to bring up some more pictures here that I'm hoping will bring a smile on your face, but look at this here. The new and the first ever No Mercy Wrestling heavyweight champion, Jay Joshua, and a few backstage pictures with the belt, looking pretty sweet, my friends. I love that black and white shot. But this would have been probably at the time your biggest championship. I think previously you'd maybe won tag team gold, but maybe one of your biggest singles accomplishments and the first ever No Mercy Wrestling heavyweight champion. I know you've got a bit of a history with No Mercy Wrestling. I think you started wrestling for them in about June or July 2022. So we're talking about a year and a half. And you've been on a lot of their cards. You've been a regular for No Mercy since then. You picked up their heavyweight championship. Before we talk about the match, which I know was a very, very memorable match, how's it feel to be No Mercy Wrestling's first ever heavyweight champion?
Oh, it's cool as hell. And I really want to keep that belt as long as I can. I really want to be up against all the best heavyweights out there now. And it was just like no fun how they had a lot of faith in me to put me in that match anyway. But knowing like, you know, I'm the champ now, it's just a huge honor. It's cool as hell.
Absolutely. And I asked you before we went live, do you have the gold with you? And you do actually have the championship belts with you. Show us the No Mercy one, Jay, if you can, right beside you.
It's fairly empty. And if, I always have it at the side of my shelf only because I do have a knack of so many like no personal things I would leave. Like, no, like I am like so bad at forgetting things. So, like, no, then it's the first thing as I wake up on the show, the first one I see is the belts. It's only so then I can get them. I'm
don't
so
want to
bad,
forget that. Couldn't have put the venue without the championship belt, but I've got to say, it's a beautiful belt. I love the strap. I love the kind of burgundy color there. I love the Iron Cobra logo there. Well.
It's like a little snakeskin on the inside, too. So it's as cool as else. Badass.
That is so sweet. Probably one of the most beautiful championship belts I've seen. But thank you for showing us that. And credit to the belt designer and credit to No Mercy for sure. But I mean, you won it in this match here, didn't you? And it was a five-way ladder match. Kelly Six, yourself, NJ Grayson, George Lydon and Bevan. But I've got to ask you, first of all, Jay, had you been in a ladder match before that particular one?
I was in one, but even then, I hate ladders so much.
You scared of heights?
No. I've just gone off balance. I am completely awful. Even in the house, if I do anything on the roof or anything, I'm shaking. I've got no single balance whatsoever. I'm so bad on a ladder. It was so scary, only because heights I'm fine, and but it was just shaking so much. Oh, it was awful.
Well, what a lot of fans don't realize, Jay, is that the wrestling ring, it's not solid, is it? It does, it's got some give, it's got some movement there, you know, with the spring and the padding and everything. So, you know, you've got some big guys, a bit of beef in that ring, and when they're trying to climb that ladder, it's not going to stand still for you, is it?
Exactly. I know. I'm 260 too. So I'm like, and it's just going to shake, isn't it? And it's just absolutely terrifying. I hate it.
But tell us a bit about the match. I mean, what are some of the kind of moments or highlights for you? And I mean, a lot of matches, especially when you've got five men in there, you know, there's a lot of moving parts. And especially when the ladder possibly gets used as a weapon or people falling off the ladder. What's your kind of experience of that match? Any difficult moments?
It was just a whole blur in that match. I was mainly focused on actually getting up there and getting it in it. But I do remember at a point where I took a landing on it and the ladder, oh, it absolutely sucked. And my back was just stiff for days. Oh, it hurt so bad.
Mate, it's a bump that not many people want to take. But you have, when you reached the championship belt, I'm guessing it was hanging from the rafters and you kind of, jumped from the ladder or fell to the ground, fell to the canvas. What were the emotions? What was going through your head? Because as we described, you know, at that moment in time, that would have been the biggest championship success of your career. And like I said, 2023 was a phenomenal year. Things are really clicking into place. But it must be a bit of relief and a bit of justification when you realise that you were the champion.
Yeah. As like I said, though, on that night, it was just a blur. And then, but after, like, no, I took a pic of it, and then I put it online, and then it's just got a huge, like, no, a reception of it. And then, but then it felt like a step in the right direction too. I was just happy.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. We've had a couple of people reach out to us before we went live. In fact, one of our live questions. Friend of the show, Richie Horrigan, watching us live via YouTube. He's even got your picture there as his icon picture, so a big fan of yours. Did you start getting your swag with Billy Hayes? I know Billy Hayes is, a very well-known tag team partner of yours. Remind us of the tag team name. And Richie's asking, did you get your swag from Billy Hayes? I'm not sure what Richie's referring to there. You might understand it better than me.
I do actually get it, yeah. We were the Dead Sad Boys.
That's the one.
Yeah, and I always had that swag anyway, but it was just getting it out because, shockingly enough, like in the first few years as well, I was just so like shy and nervous and scared of just being me, in the ring and as I walk out too, it was just terrifying. And then, but then Billy actually helped me just to be more, out there, because he was just so. He was charismatic, and then he was strange, he was weird in the ring and all that stuff, and then he was just having fun. He actually helped me bring me out of my own shell.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And I'm a good friend with Richie, and he sent in a question. Sent in a picture of yourself with Richie. At a recent show, and I'm sure Richie will be happy that I've shown that, but top friend of mine and fan of yours for sure. And I want to talk a bit about another championship success, and we've got to bring up this picture here, the IWN Z-Force. Is it Z-Force? Z-Force? Doesn't really matter. Z-Force champion of IWN, and like I say, some wonderful pictures here, possibly after you just picked up the championship there. But to IWN... turn after a bit of a hiatus, haven't they? And I know that you've been a regular fixture of theirs from their first show back. And I've got a bit of a list of some of your kind of victors. Connor Mills, then of course the championship four-way, it was yourself, Levi Muir, Scotty Rourke and Leon Cage. And then of course you've gone on to defend it very recently against one of the very best in the UK. You had a phenomenal 2023 himself, CJ Rawlins. I think IWN is perfectly suited to a performer, to a wrestler such as yourself, especially with their kind of wrestling ethos and history and the way they present their shows. And they've certainly put a lot of stock in you as well, Jay.
Yeah, they were actually called Fight Nation in the past, and they actually took a gamble on me of tagging with Billy Hayes. And we actually became the tag team champions there, and then as soon as they came back last year, it was a gamble having me on my own too, and then I beat Mills, and then and they went, do you want to be in the Z Force a title match, and then I was like, hell yeah, but knowing I was up against those law too, and Lee Vimeur is just an absolute tank.
Yeah.
And I just had a blast. And but then a few weeks ago, actually going up against CJ, who I actually think is just underrated as hell.
Yeah.
He's just I had a blast, and oh my god, he's shockingly big, and it was such a fun match, but obviously I came out as the winner.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like I say, CJ absolutely doing some wonderful things. But I want to talk a bit about when you won the championship, and some of the competitors in there, Scotty Rourke, Levi Muir, you just described him as a tank, and 16-year-old Leon Cage. Now, I've recently had Leon on the show, I think November, what a phenomenal... I know that you know Leon very, very well from New Wave, of course, and another South Wales lad, watching his rise in what was also a breakout year for you, a breakout year for him, he's a phenomenal talent, isn't he? And so young.
He's 16 years old.
Crazy.
It's not fair. It's really not fair. It's not fair how good he is. But I do actually, I actually met him when he was 13, actually, because he was at, he was working for a different show then first. And that was where he was at. And he was a ref there. And he was so small then, he looked not like no two. And he came and trained with us. And in my head, I was like, I know you. It's just mad. I would like know how he's just so good. And he's 16.
Yeah.
I just keep on. I would say it over and over again. He's 16. It's just not fair how good he is.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like I say, he's got a very, very bright future ahead of him. And sticking with the South Wales theme and the New Wave theme, and sticking with IWN, I'm going to bring up this picture here. Yourself and the Brill, James Ellis, representing South Wales, representing New Wave Wrestling and New Wave Academy. And of course, James Ellis, the IWN champion, heavyweight champion. I think they describe it as a world championship. So I'm sure that will boost his ego no end. Not that it needs boosting, but South Wales properly representing in IWE there, Jay. IWN, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I do like know how like no us lot are getting like no everywhere, but now we're like no really like no just in the Wales scene. We're getting around everywhere in the English scene and the Scottish scene and the Irish scene too. So it's cool like no how we're going like no everywhere like no. But also as well, there is a stipulation if you didn't know on the Z-Force. If I keep that belt and defend it seven like no times, I can like no vacate it, and then like no they go after on the world championship belt.
Wow, that's quite exciting. And so you've only got another six more defenses of your championship, and Ellis had better watch over his shoulder, watch over his back. Because Jay Joshua is going to be after him. But I mean, you know, speaking of South Wales and the tremendous talent, we've spoken about, you know, yourself and the Brill and Leon Cage and so many more. But South Wales was the, back when Britress was at its hottest, I would say that the South Wales scene was really propping up that whole scene. It really was the hottest scene when you look at the talent it was producing, the talent that was getting signed to NXT UK and WWE. I have to say, I think the South Wales scene kind of dipped a little bit, but now it's back at its strongest and possibly better than it's ever been. And when you look at, you know, what No Mercy Wrestling, New Wave are doing, Carnage, for example, and then you've got Chaos, who occasionally kind of, you know, present their show from South Wales, and so many other promotions, Slam Masters, I could go on and on. And the talent that South Wales and that whole scene have produced, but it's pretty red hot at the moment, isn't it, Jay?
Yeah, like, no, I'm starting to believe now, like, no, in the past year, it's become the hotbed of the UK scene now.
Mm.
It seems like, no, it's the place to be. And it, but that is the credit to, like, no, a New Wave lot, honestly. Like, no, yeah. While like, no, they have, like, no, achieved, and Brendan, like, no, in particular, of what he's achieved in that school is just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And when, because I know that you kind of cut your teeth in the pro wrestling business with Dragon Pro, didn't you? Back in around 2017, 2018, and kind of broke in around that same time as well. But of course, New Wave is the next stage of Dragon Pro. I know that Brendan purchased Dragon Pro, and before you knew it, New Wave Academy was on the scene and they started running shows 2022. When did you first start training at New Wave with Brendan?
As soon as he announced it.
As soon as that.
Yeah, but a few of us were like, actually doing a few of the stuff anyway, like in advance, and it was Brendan like as well, and then, but then he told us like in advance he was going to open up a school in Newport, so then like straight away yeah. I was on it.
Yeah, and how would you say, I mean, obviously we've spoken about your growth and your development over the last year, And you do attribute a lot of that to the guys and the girls at New Wave. But from a personal standpoint, I mean, what certain aspects do you believe they've attributed to you and your overall game, whether it be in the ring or outside of the ring? You know, is there anything you can pinpoint that you can really put down to New Wave and their support and their training?
Everything, honestly. And the best part is on their coaches as well. You've got every single coach has a different style. So it's helped me a lot. I've been as well rounded as I can. But it isn't really just most of the coaches too. You got Elijah and Splits and James Ellis and Kurt Atlas and Leon Cage and Shane Hooker, and just working working with those guys over and over and over again. It just helps you get better every time. And plus on me though, it's a confidence thing too. As soon as I'm confident, at a certain point, I feel a huge weight is lifted off me, and then I can just be, me, and then I can work on so much more then.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And just changing the subject ever so slightly. And I'm not sure if you ever wrestled for 4FW back in the day when they were one of the big promotions in the UK. But I know that you've been a regular for Brit King Pro, British Kingdom Professional Wrestling. And they are kind of like the rebirth of 4FW, you could say. And you've had massive wins for Brit King Pro in 2024 against the likes of Ho Ho Lun, Nico Angelo, and been involved in kind of a pretty awesome and stacked six-man tag as well at their New Year's Resolution show last month. But you've been on a bit of a journey with Brit King Pro as well. I think you've wrestled a few times for them in 2024 and having a good time with them as well, Jay.
I'm having a blast at the minute. And they're just... It's so amazing, how they can, actually get guys, Dragon Kid and Shun Skywalker and Ho Ho Lun. It's just absolute mayhem, and it's bonkers, you know. Look at it, and the jackets are cool as hell, too. Absolute madness. Look at them.
Oh, I need to find out how I can get one of those myself. I'll have to tap up Dave Sharp and say, Dave, where can I get them jackets from, even if I have to buy one? But you've got some good wins under your belt. And Nico Angelo, somebody you know very, very well. You've just mentioned him, one of the coaches at New Wave. Ho Ho Lun, former Cruiserweight Classic and doing wonderful things over in Japan, of course. Tell us a bit about kind of Brit King Pro and what sort of atmosphere you kind of walk through the curtain at, because I know they always put on an awesome show. The presentation is second to none. They put a lot of effort into presenting proper professional wrestling. They really do focus on being proper professional wrestling company. How was your experience of kind of walking out there, the fans, and your experience overall?
In a good way, it was comfortable.
Really?
As soon as I got there, everybody is just friendly, and you're welcomed with open arms too. And the talent there is just ridiculously good too. Oh my God. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. They got kind of so many awesome stars that they trained back in the 4FW days, and people that they've associated themselves with. And I'm glad that you're a part of it as well, my friends. And another company I want to talk about that you've had a bit of a journey with, a bit of a mixed bag of results in 2023, but a lot of fun times, is Pro Wrestling Chaos. And I'm going to bring up one picture in particular. And it was after your match with a certain British strong style, Trent Seven, of course. And I think this was early last year. We're pretty much a year to the day since that match happened back in February 2023. Now, I've seen that match back a couple of times, Jay, and I've got to say, it's an awesome match, but I don't think I've ever seen a match with so many knife-edge chops to start off with. It is brutal. You're absolutely kind of slapping the chest off of one another, but I've got to say, I take my hat off to you. Yourself and Trent really gelled well. The chemistry was amazing. The fans were really into it. The action was tremendous. But what do you remember about that day and Trent Seven? Because I'm guessing, you've wrestled a lot of top stars, but he's got to be up there.
Yeah, it was... I wrestled a lot of top stars in advance anyway. And they like no weren't as big as him, and it was more of a test too, because like no, they were trying to see if I can actually get like the if I can like no actually float in the deep end. So then like no having that match, and then like no having the fans actually give me a standing like no ovation afterwards, it was just I was just like no usually like no every year at this time of month it's a personal thing, because like no I did lose a few people in the past a few years ago like no at this time of month, and yeah. But then knowing like no I had that match and in a good way I turned my life around, and then I had the crowd actually cheering, I was just overcome, and then I just bursted in like no I was just I was like no I broke down in tears. It was just yeah like no and it, but in a good way though, it was just because like no I was just so happy, and then I got like no at the back, and I was just and in my like no head I was just overcome like no with just so much emotion. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah, gonna say I think that match did a lot to put a lot of eyes on you, to put a lot of focus on you, and like I say, coming out of that match with a standing ovation must have given you a lot of confidence and a lot of motivation to go on and achieve what you did achieve in 2023. But what sort of a learning experience was it for you, and did you have a chance to kind of, you know, talk with Trent after the match? Did he pass on any words of wisdom or any advice? Kind of what are some of your takeaways from that match as far as learning and any advice you were given?
He did as well. And then he was just giving me feed, like, no, back of what, like, no, I can do on the rest of the year. And it, but, like, no, the biggest, like, no, a compliment he gave me, though, like, no, at the end, he was like, you've arrived now. And I was like, really? And he was like, yeah. And then, like, because he actually said in advance, too, like, no, he told me in advance a few months, like, no, a few months afterwards, like, no, he said that he wanted, like, no, that match in the past anyway. But no one, it did happen, and he saw the match, and he was just, like, no, he was buzzing about it. And that made me just feel, like, no, so much more, like, you know, happy then. I was just buzzing. I was buzzing.
Mate, so pleased for you. So pleased for you. And like I say, we're sticking with 2023, because 2023 was a year of highlights for you. It really, really was. We could probably go for days on how good your 2023 was. But what about this one here? The HMV Empire, Impact / TNA were in town, and you were part of their gut check, weren't you, my friends? And another incredible day. And I mentioned Leon Cage. I had him on the show in November just a few months ago, and he spoke about his experience at Gut Check and kind of the day as far as he was concerned. Not sure if you travelled up with Leon, but how did you become a part of Gut Check? And is it something you'd always wanted to do?
So I actually remember it got announced on the day in September, I think it was, and I was already at a show, and then in my mind I was like, I'm gonna have to do this, and then I just applied, like no I actually applied, and that was it. And then like no but then however there were like no on the day I was just, it was a roller coaster of just nervousness, happiness, and it like you know and it was just like, as soon like no, as I got there was about 80 of us there, yeah. And I was like, oh wow, I was like, oh come on, really? And then, but then like no, in a good way though, like no, too, it showed like no, on the confidence like no of me, like no, of me though in the ring, because as soon as we got there, everybody went, oh yeah, like no, all of us are going to have to do it in our gear and our look and stuff. And I was like, oh, thank God for that. And then, but then like, no, as soon then, like, no, as we done it, and they actually said I was in the top, like, no, 10 going up against Chuck Mambo. I was like, oh, wow. Massive. I was like, I was so nervous, like, no, too. And like, and he is just absolutely amazing as it is anyway. And we had like, no, that match and it was so fun. It was only about 6 minutes, but it was just so fun. And but then we had like no that match, and then like no deservedly so Harley Hudson won, and Joe Hendry actually took us to the back because we've been asked like no it and it was me and Chris
Bronson,
yeah. They actually took us at the back, and it was Josh like no Alexander, Joe Hendry, Rich Swan, and Scott like no, the Murray like no actually said oh yeah like no so we had like no and you like no two in the top three, and that just felt like a win then, and it was just so cool, and it was just like no overall as a day it was just a hell of a day at the end, only because like no at the start of the day I was just so scared, and then, but then afterwards a huge weight was just lifted off my shoulders, you know.
Hey, that's really awesome. That really is awesome, and like I say, great that you got taken to the back inside the top 10 and possibly close to, you know, the top three, but congratulations on that. And I'm sure that did wonders for your confidence and for your motivation as well. I want to switch subjects again and talk a bit about Attack Pro Wrestling. And I know that it's a company very, very close to your heart. And I know that they were one of the first groups that kind of gave you a chance back in 2018 and 2019, where they gave you that series of matches through 2018 and 2019. But you've also been part of nearly all of their shows since they returned at the beginning of last year. I think all apart from two shows. But how cool was it for you when Attack kind of announced or declared that they were returning last year then, Jay?
It was... as soon as Mark like asked me, oh yeah, like do you want to be on Attack because it's back? I dropped my phone, and I was like, wait, what? Attack is back? It because like there was a part of me actually thinking it was never gonna happen again.
Mm.
And no one like it came like back. I was just so happy, and the fact that like Mark has actually put his faith in me about like putting me in these matches. It's just extremely humbling, honestly. It really, really is. I'm grateful.
Absolutely. And there are a few matches I want to draw your attention to. One of them I'm sure you'll remember very, very fondly, and it was the championship match that you had against Wild Boar. Now, I have seen the match. I know that he had to resort to a bit of biting, some cheap tactics. I think even Kid Like Us 2 got involved at some stage. It's a championship that's eluded you kind of all these years. Wild Boar, and I think it's Nico Angelo, the champion now, or is he the All Wales? Who's the Attack champion currently?
It's Nico.
It is Nico. There we go. I wasn't imagining it. But like I say, that was a fun match. And you had a match of the year contender against Connor Mills as well, didn't you? I think that was voted... there was yourself and Connor Mills, the second best match as voted for at the end of year awards. And you had a crazy, crazy match against Dan Maloney, somebody that you faced probably a few years earlier. But you've had some big opponents in an Attack ring in 2023 since they've returned, including that championship match, including that match of the year contender against Mills and Dan Maloney. Any kind of fond memories or thoughts back to some of those matches, Jay?
Yeah, like no working like no ball was huge, and the fact that like no a lot of us actually regard him as the best in Europe, and I truly think he is. But knowing like no I had him, and it was the first time that like no me and him actually met in the ring in a singles match.
Really?
Yeah,
I did not know that.
And I really want him again. Because he is the absolute man, and plus he's on his own now. Because he had to have the Like Us Boys actually, you know, actually get me. I truly believe it. If I had him, I'd be like no. I would have enough, but like no belt on the side now. Honestly, I really, really think I would.
Absolutely. Got a kind of, well, like I say, now that Nico Angelo is the champion, you've got a good track record against Nico. So, you know, in there with Nico, good things will happen, I'm sure. But Mills and Maloney, I know Maloney is just a ball of fire all day long, especially with the year that he had and kind of the tremendous things he's doing over in New Japan. And I know that the two of you squared off a number of times back in 2019. So it would have been maybe three and a half, four years since you last faced Maloney. Up to that one time last year in an attack ring. I bet it kind of felt similar, but different. The two of you, different wrestlers, kind of 4 years apart, would you say?
Extremely different. And the fact that, like, no, in a way, it almost felt like it was a full circle thing between us two, because I was one of his last ones just before he went, before he left the UK. And... But knowing where he is now, and rightfully so, because Dan is just absolutely unbelievable. And knowing I worked him in the ring, and the fact that he had that belt on him as well.
Yeah.
The tag team title belt. And then I was just like, oh my God, wow. And he is just an absolute star now. Yeah. And he's earned that.
Let me ask you, obviously with Dan doing some wonderful things over in Japan, and thinking about your style, your kind of grappling, submission, shoot style, I think that would be a good match for a Japanese promotion. Is Japan kind of on your radar? Is that a place you'd like to get to? Because I think that your style and the Japanese style would mesh really, really well.
It is a goal. It's a really, really huge goal for me. It's the... a type of style that I was drawn on ever since I became a fan, and it seeing guys outside of Japan doing it almost guys Luke and and Samoa Joe and it was just seeing all these guys outside of Japan and doing it. And I was like, oh, I could probably do this style too. And it is just, yeah, it's always been a style I was just drawn on, to, and it still, actually draws on to me now. Is that was why, I was just so, so happy just having that match with Mills, too. Because Mills is just, he's perfect for there. Because they would love him over there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And when you see, what Callum Newman is doing over in Japan at the moment, and Maloney and so many other top stars, Gabe Kidd, Zack Sabre Jr., Will Ospreay, I think that the British kind of talent, especially with our kind of traditional roots as well, and our traditional techniques, I think that's really, really kind of appreciated by the Japanese audience. And I think your kind of shooting, grappling style would definitely go over really, really well with the Japanese audience. But Richie, friend of the show, has been a busy boy. He sent a question in before we went live, and he asks, what can we expect from a heel, Jay Joshua, in Attack Pro Wrestling? So I wasn't fully aware. I had to kind of check my facts before we went live, but kind of in recent months and recent shows, you have turned heel. What can we expect from a heel, Jay Joshua, in Attack Pro Wrestling going forward, my friend?
It's nothing much. It's just me being the Attack Pro champion. That's it.
He's focused, ladies and gentlemen, and he knows what he wants. He wants another championship bout. And we neglected to bring up earlier, you do actually have the IWN Z Force Championship next to you as well, don't you? Now, I don't expect you to hold both championships because, like you say, they are heavy, but show us the IWN belt, my friend.
Let me go get it. Here we are. It's a lot heavier as well.
Is it really?
So nice.
Another beautiful... nice clean cut design, but you've got two very beautiful championship belts there. So congratulations. Let me ask you a bit about your wrestling fandom, because I've done a bit of digging and a bit of research, and I can kind of gauge that you have been maybe not a lifelong wrestling fan, but you've been a wrestling fan for a very, very long time. Tell us a bit about your love affair with pro wrestling and what kind of got you hooked then, Jay.
I was a lifelong fan ever since I was a baby.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. It was mainly from my dad. He was a huge fan of the Attitude Era and stuff, and his favorite was Stone Cold every time. Stone Cold Steve Austin every single time, no matter what. And then, but then as soon as I got older, I was drawn to, like, no, obviously, of Kurt Angle, obviously, like, no, because he was just a man, and he still is the man. And then, but on the entertainment standpoint, and because of how really, really good of a wrestler he was, Eddie Guerrero, I was just drawn to him massively as well. And then, but then, like, no, obviously, and he was just so good in the ring. Even then, as a kid, I was just like, no, I acknowledged of how absolutely phenomenal he was. I was like, oh my God, he is just incredible. There was someone who was small too, and he was just so good. And plus, he's just so funny. Yeah.
Great character. And you mentioned Kurt Angle, you mentioned Eddie Guerrero. Well, were there any, or are there any kind of wrestling heroes of yours, you know, or even people in the business that you associate yourself with nowadays that have been an influence on you and maybe your style over the years? And interesting that you mentioned Kurt Angle, with him being an Olympic wrestler and your background being in amateur wrestling. Was he a bit of an influence on you?
He was, yeah. And then, but then I do remember when this was 2009, and my dad had, like, no, all these, like, no, all these DVDs and tapes of ROH too, and I was just drawn to, obviously, Joe. I was just drawn to, like, no, Joe. So, like, no, for a guy of his size to move the way that he did, and plus he was just an absolute badass. And plus, I was just hooked then since as a teenager. I was like, oh my God, Joe is the baddest dude I've ever seen in my life. And I was just drawn since.
Absolutely. And I kind of come across this magazine article from 2018. It mentions that you always had a lifelong ambition to be a pro wrestler. But you wanted to kind of get that ball rolling by becoming an amateur wrestler, first of all. And it's a sport that you kind of got very, very good at, very proficient at. And you actually very nearly represented your country in the Commonwealth Games. Tell us about getting into amateur wrestling to start off with. And obviously, you know, you're a lifelong wrestling fan, pro wrestling fan, wanted to be a pro wrestler, but decided to take a slightly different route to start off with as an amateur wrestler.
Yeah, like, no, all of this is quite long. So, like, no, and I used to think as a teenager, like, no, being, like, no, a kid, like, no, of the Wales area, it was just out of, like, no, the norm. I was like, oh, yeah, like, no, it would never happen. And then, like, no, as soon as I actually got older, I was drawn to, like, no, UFC, MMA and Pride and all that, like, no, stuff. And I was just drawn, like, no, to that as well. And I wanted to actually be a fighter. And even then, I actually knew, like, no, then, like, no, the found, like, no, Dacian was, like, no, amateur wrestling. And yeah. I didn't really do it for long. I only did it for, like, 2 years. And I was just naturally, like, no, actually hooked on it. And then they, and because, like, no, in the Wales, like, no, area at that time, there wasn't really many of the Welsh wrestlers in the same, like, no, weight as me.
Yeah.
And then they asked me, do you want to be in the Commonwealth Games? Like, no, have a qualifier at least. And then, but then, like, no, even then I was confident of being in it. I was like, oh yeah, hell yeah. And then a few days later, my knees went, and it was my right knee, like, no, dislocated, because I was actually born with, like, no, slightly higher patellas in my knees. And then I had to get, like, no, operations on both knees, because my knees were absolutely done then. And then they said, oh, you cannot actually do this ever again. And I was like, oh no, I was done. I was like, oh no.
Devastating.
And then, yeah. And then, I was trying to, like, no, even then, no, I was like, no, I was doubtful. I was stubborn too. And then, like, no, I was like, oh, no, I will rehab and I will get back, like, no, in it. And to which then I did. And then, but then I actually remember being abroad in, I went abroad in 2016. I was abroad in 2016. And then I got sunburned so, so badly on the first day. And then, like, no, I was just so high then off, like, no, alcohol and painkillers and stuff. I phoned my mum, and then just on the fly, I haven't watched a paper, like, no, view in years. And I went, oh, yeah, mum, any chance of you can, like, no, buy, like, no, SummerSlam on the Sky box office? And she was like, yeah. And then I came home. I was completely unaware it was on the telly. I put it on, and then I watched the one, like, no, match. In particular, it was Cena versus AJ in the rematch. I saw that match and I was like, I'm going to have to try this now at least. And then I just searched online and Dragon Lagno, like, no, Pro actually, like, no, I was there and I was like, oh, in Newport, that's not far.
Right around the corner. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I rehabbed, like, no, on my knees a lot more. And then, like, no, at the start of the 27, like, no team, I started there then.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously, once you were fully recovered, you were off to the races with your pro wrestling training. How did you find the transition from, you know, what is, you know, two different sports, essentially? You know, they both got wrestling in the title, but one is much more ground-based and kind of holds and trying to pin your opponent down. Another one is a lot more fast-paced and a lot more agile and a lot more heavy-hitting, a lot more physical, some might say. How did you find the transition?
Hard.
Tell us about it.
Very, very hard. The very first session, I couldn't barely move afterwards. I was sweating, I was out of breath, and then I was almost crying in the car. I was like, oh, my God, is this what it's going to, like, no, take? And then, like, no, even now that we're still hard, and you've just got to, like, no, do it because it's what it takes, you know? But honestly, like, no, the very first few, like, no, sessions I did, oh, I really wanted to, like, no, actually call it a day and be like, no, no, no. And then, but then I gripped my teeth, and then I was surrounded by a lot of, like, no, helpful guys, I'm still here now.
Oh, 100%. And I want to take you back to some of them early days, and especially, I mean, we mentioned earlier about you starting with Attack in 2018 going into 2019, but Dragon Pro were your home promotion, were your home kind of training school, them alongside Attack Pro in 2018 and 2019. That's where you cut your teeth and where you kind of learned the business of pro wrestling. And I think 2019 ended up being one of your busiest years on record. Although you were still kind of fairly new to the business, still fairly young, some might say you were still green and, you know, really trying to find out what the business is all about. But particularly busy in 2019. How did you find them first couple of years, 2018, 2019, breaking in? What were some of the more difficult aspects?
It was personally as well the hardest year of my life, only because I was just, it was my own, like, no, fault though. I actually got chucked into the deep end, and then I didn't really, like, no, stay afloat. I didn't really, like, no, I didn't really belong there, it felt like. Even though, like, no, it was cool off the matches I had, I didn't really feel like I had much of, like, no, a right of being there. And it, but then there was a period where I reached a point then of where, like, no, I wasn't really showing up in the sessions and training a lot and, like, no stuff, because in my, like, no head, I was like, oh, I've got, like, no, all of, like, these, I don't really have to work as hard. Huge mistake. And it, but knowing, like, no, I had a lot of, like, no, opportunities taken away from, like, no, me, it was the best thing to ever happen. Honestly, it was.
Really good point. And we one highlight I did want to bring up, and I don't know what your memories are of this, but you were the one half of the Dragon Pro Tag Team Champions, weren't you, alongside former guest of the show once again, Sid Oakley, Septic Sid Oakley. And I think you were tag champs for just shy of a year, maybe a few weeks shy of a year. Do you have any fond memories of that time, you know, teaming with Sid, Dragon Pro? I know you said it was kind of a difficult time mentally, but you had fun in the ring. And so what are your memories of teaming with Sid?
Oh, yeah. Like, no, Sid is the man. Honestly, he actually helped me out a lot. And he was just so, so fun to be around, like, no wave. He was one of the funniest human beings I've ever been around in my life. Some of the stories that he told me in the past, I was like, oh my God, you are absolutely incredible, but you're nuts. Some of the matches we had as well was just a lot of, like, no fun. In particular, when we had the 198 who was Bored and Flash.
Yeah.
And at the Neon. And we had a blast and it was great. It was so fun.
Absolutely. I've got a couple of pictures here from a few years ago. Now, I never like to embarrass my guests, but I do like to bring up some old pictures. It's a picture of you kicking seven shades of something out of Sid Oakley, by the looks of it. A really good action shot. And I've got to ask, Jay, who is this fella here? He's looking pretty dapper. I think that's possibly from 2018 or maybe early 2019. What's going on with that gear, my friend?
Oh no! I knew you would do it. You. I was in my. I wanted to like no be much of like no the good like no fellas like no vibes, the casino vibes and Scarface vibes. You know, like no, I wanted that look in particular. And it, but honestly, looking back at it now, I was like, oh my God, you absolute dick!
You were trying to find this personality, weren't you? You were trying to find this character, and it just took a little bit longer.
honestly, it was like, no, I looked like a cast of Del Boy. Honestly, it was so bad. Look at that coat.
Just about to sell some fake gold watches out of the back of a van or something.
100%. I'm pretty like sure as well. The necklace there was fake too.
Nice one. And got a picture here from your kind of early attack day. Now, I think you're actually doing a dance there. I didn't realize till just now, but you're actually doing some sort of dance in the ring there. Everybody's getting down to it, but they were fun times. And I've got to say, I've spoken to a lot of people that Attack Pro Wrestling was the first indie show that I went to back in 2014, I think. And it was just batshit crazy. And I think they always like to have good fun mixed with some awesome pro wrestling. And they've kind of created and given birth to so many top names that are signed all over the world and doing some wonderful things all over the UK. You know, it looked like you were having a lot of fun in that ring. But Attack Pro Wrestling, okay, now that it's back, I don't think it's kind of lost its character, has it? But it looked like you were having a lot of fun in that photo.
That was my debut for Attack.
No way.
It was my debut, yeah. And it was just before my birthday too, because Nico actually made his debut just before me, and to which I was still a bit pissed about, you know?
Yeah.
And, they made just like, no, actually do a dance off and it. And but then I was like, why the hell have I got to do a dance for? So then, and it just in the spirit of the moment, I just started twerking. And I was like, what on earth are you doing? And then, but then, yeah, like, no, having that debut as well was just so fun. I was grateful for that.
Absolutely. Now, that's all the embarrassing stuff over with. No more embarrassing photos,
sure,
I promise.
Sure?
But as I mentioned at the top of the show, I think the first time we met and introduced one another was backstage at that Wrestle Carnival show in August 2021. Now, it's one of the first shows coming back straight out of lockdown. I think it's probably your third match back that summer, kind of out of lockdown. And what an introduction, because you got to face Chris Ridgeway in that submission style match. And I think that that match was very, very important, certainly for Wrestle Carnival, because I think it was kind of like the seeds of what eventually became their pure division. And I know that Gary is a massive ROH and pure wrestling fan. And like I say, I think that that match between yourself and Chris Ridgeway, that submission style match. But I watched it back today in preparation for this interview, and it's just really, really stiff, kind of hard-hitting, a lot of really cool chain wrestling as well, and grappling. And I think that you, in particular, were in your element during that match. I don't know if you've wrestled Chris before that. I know you wrestled him once since in an No Mercy ring back in 2022. But that match, like I say, is a match that I'll always remember. Certainly for your reaction after the match, when I spoke to you after the match and I said, did that hurt? You went, nah, it was nothing. But take us back to that day. What do you remember?
Yeah, it was actually my very, very first match back since lockdown.
Was it really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was just so nervous. I was like, oh my God, I am just so out of my depth here. Only because you can be in the gym and train or do a few of the sessions prior to it. But as soon as you're in the ring, there is nothing like it. And then, but no one I had the faith about being in there with him, who we knew, me and him actually knew each other in the past, and we've actually became mates since. And then, but having that match, and we've actually became bigger mates since. And he's helped me a lot, in these last few years. I am extremely humble about being in the ring with him, because he's just so good. He's so good. And it bugs me still knowing he beat me, and then it's the only time that he have it, because it's the only match that we've had. But knowing he's beat me still bugs me a bit.
Yeah. Like I say, got to get that rematch. But as we start to wind down this episode of Wrestling with Jonas and this wonderful interview with Jay Joshua, let me ask you, Jay, what you've had, a great career. I think you started training 2017, really got kind of hitting 2018 into 2019. And the last couple of years, in particular 2023, was a real standout year for you, a breakout year for you, some might say. And 2024, I'm sure, is going to be better, if that's even possible. But what are some of your proudest moments looking back through your career, even more recent times, if you want to kind of talk about that? But what are some of the few proudest moments that really jump out at you, my friend?
Oh, there's so many. But in particular, on last year, the match I had with Terence was the kickstart of everything. Of the reception I had afterwards was huge, but also as well, being in the ring with Mills and the reception we had afterwards, and it just every fan in that room actually stood up and clapped, and I was like, oh my God, wow. And I was laying down, and I was just in absolute pain anyway, and then I just looked and I was just seeing everyone just on their feet, and I was like, oh wow. And that right there had to have been the proudest moment of last year, 100%. But there's been so many of just by being around so many of the guys as well, so many of the guys and girls on this scene now, and sharing sharing my experiences, and for them to share theirs with me, those two actually makes me happy as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself. Before we ask Jay Joshua for his socials, just a quick reminder once again of my up-and-coming guests. And of course, at a slightly different start time, 4:30, Monday the 12th of February, 4:30 start time, and none other than Scotty Rourke, the current BWR heavyweight champion, the current Tidal Championship Wrestling heavyweight champion, and one half of the United Wrestling Tag Team Champions, as one half of the Dog's Bollocks with Kira Chimera. That's next Tuesday the 12th at 4:30. Back to our usual start time on February the 20th with Alexis Falcon, a wonderful guest. Really, really excited to have Alexis Falcon live on Wrestling with Jonas on the 20th of February, 8:00 live. And then, of course, don't forget Eddie Dennis joining me on Monday the 4th of March, 8 p.m. live. And that's going to be a hell of an interview with Eddie Dennis. Have you ever worked Eddie before? Have you been in a match with him?
I have not. No, I always wanted to though.
Oh, now that he's back on the scene, it's got to happen. But Jay Joshua, for anybody that wants to get in touch with you, watch some of your matches, or maybe just see some of your photos and some of your highlights, or reach out and say hi, whereabouts on the World Wide Web can they do so? And if it's any help, I do have your Instagram and your X scrolling along the bottom, but the floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, like, no, as you said then, it's like Noah underneath there. And then, but if you type my name in up on YouTube, you will find me up against Mills and Trent and Dan Maloney, and it, like Noah on YouTube. And it's just, yeah, it's cool. Like, no, I'm actually on them. So, yeah, like, no, if you type up my like, no, name on YouTube, they will be on there.
There we go. And that's how I did a lot of my research. That's how I saw a lot of Jay Joshua's matches that I wasn't present for. But he's got a ton of matches up there, including the one with Trent Seven and one or two others. And I'm going to bring up this sweet bit of artwork from Elliot 93. It's got Jay Joshua's socials there. Sicker than your average. Jay, like I say, you know, you're hitting 2024. You know, you're hitting the ground running in 2024, I should say, and a lot of momentum behind you off the back of an awesome year last year. But if you've got any final words to sign us off this episode of Wrestling with Jonas to my viewers, my listeners, your friends, family, and followers at home, what would you like to say to sign us off this episode of Wrestling with Jonas, my friend?
Live in the moment and have fun. Sit back and enjoy the ride, honestly. It's going to be a blast. Say less.
You got it, my friend. It's been an absolute pleasure, and look forward to catching you at the show sometime in 2024. But continued success, Jay Joshua. Thank you for being an awesome guest.
Thank you for having me, man.
You're very welcome.